theme for this year, as you're aware, is guard your heart, to protect your heart, to be aware of what comes out of your heart. It is important for others to see that you're carrying something special. Not because you have to, it's just because it's something inside you that just comes out. God's Spirit is with you and in you and moving. And the subtopic within this month is attitude of gratitude. I should have asked you before I put up there, shouldn't I? Attitude of, who's got an attitude of gratitude?
We try.
Not always that easy, is it? Sometimes we get a bit frustrated or a bit flustered, or we get a little bit angry at times. But the Lord is asking us to have an attitude of gratitude and to be content, being content. Can you, in your attitude of gratitude, be in a place of contentment? Do you know what it is to be content? You know, just to know that the Lord loves you, cares for you, and you can be content in that. You know, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. Remember, I talked about that earlier on. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. Something special. Today is a day that the Lord has made to be content. Now, I know Andrew mentioned this the other day, but it wasn't too long ago that I had my birthday. I actually turned 60. I know you look at me and go, no, that's impossible. Thank you. A milestone. Helen kept asking me, do I want to have a special birthday, a big birthday, like a big bash sort of thing? And I said, no, I don't. She says, what do you want? I'm trying to organize this. And I said, I'm just happy just to be with family and just sit around with family. So here's what we did. Went to our son's place, and had the kids and the grandkids, and we just ordered Thai takeaway, and we sat around on a table, and we just played games. To me, that was special, right? The irony of it all is that out of all the meals ordered, the two meals that they didn't make was mine and Helen's. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this is I didn't care. We had food on the table, we could eat, and we were just being a family together. Some people would say, it's my birthday, I want this and I want the meal, I didn't get what I have. You know, get angry at the restaurant, get angry at, or nobody loves me, nobody's going. No, I was just content and we had a nice time together. I don't know if that happens a bit more when you get older, you're a bit more content. Although some people get better when they get older and some people get bitter when they get older. You've seen that? So some people get less content as they get older. What's the opposite to content? Discontent or dissatisfaction? Some people would say to have everything covered, all your needs, and have great wealth brings contentment. Would you like to have a yacht like this? Do you think this would bring contentment? Some of you are going, yeah. You know what I see here? I see headaches. seasick is a good one. I didn't even think of that, but seasick. The money, staffing, got to move it. I don't see contentment in this. Some people would say, well, wealth will bring security and with security you'll have contentment. I don't actually think that's the way. And I think Jesus brings a reality check into some of these things. I thought this would be a good picture, you know, virtual reality. You know, you can put these things on and feel like you're in some village in some country somewhere, but it's not real, is it? All right? A reality check. Jesus brings the word in Matthew 20. We're going to read this story that Jesus brings. In Matthew 20, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarii for the day." That's the coinage, the money. "And he sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace. They were doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. And about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. And he said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call all the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon, they came and each received a denarii. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarii. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These were who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." So we have Jesus giving this understanding of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, that's the very first part. Kingdom of heaven will be like this. And he tells this story where this vineyard owner offers work to the men standing in the middle of the yards, the courtyards, ready to be picked up for work for the day. Goes to the first ones and said, "Will you work for the day for 1 denarii? They said, "Yeah, we'll work all day." And we find constantly the vineyard owner going into this area and finding these fellas that looking for work. And all through the day, he's offering them work. And finally, at the end of the day, he offers each one, even if they've only worked 1 hour, a denarii, all the way to those who have worked maybe 10 hours or longer, same denarii. All right? You get the scene? You understand the story? How does that go with your sense of justice? All right. How does it sit with your sense of justice? It's not just. Why is it not just, Craig? It's not fair. Okay. Just but not fair. Do you agree? Would you like to work all day in the heat of the day? Blood, sweat, and tears. Somebody's only been working for an hour. You've done 10 hours. And you're ready for, wow, they got one. What am I going to get? Yeah? All right. Would you call it an unjust treatment? We would consider it an unjust treatment. But Jesus presented this as a picture of the kingdom of heaven. Do we see the kingdom of heaven as an unjust treatment? No. But how does it work? We receive unmerited grace. Why is Jesus telling the story? Jesus is telling the story because the grace of God, his grace, his free gift, is for each and every one of us. It's not merit-based, meaning, look how much work I have done to get into the kingdom. Look at all the years that I've put in to the work of the Lord, and aren't I receiving something bigger, something greater, something more wonderful? Jesus is turning around and going, hang on. I am the one that gives out what I choose to give out. I'm being generous, and the offer is the offer of grace, a free gift. Ultimately, who's made the payment? Jesus. Grace is a gift, not a wage. You get that? Grace is a free gift from the Lord. It's not a wage. Faith in Jesus is not merit-based. You cannot work your way in this relationship. You cannot work your way for greater things in heaven. That's not what how it is. It's a free gift of grace. It's not a wage. It's something beautiful. Jesus offers it. And it's joy to offer it. And you and I need to avoid envy and comparison. We see these workers that have been working all day. We can't be in a place of envy and comparison. No. We need to be in a place where we just understand what it is to be content with what the Lord has given to us. God's generosity to the latecomers. You know, some of us had a faith journey all of our lives. Some people, it's on their deathbed that they finally invite Jesus in. We should celebrate that. We should be excited about that, that they finally have received Jesus and the reward is coming. See, Jesus is making this clear to everyone. Because before Jesus came, it was all about works. It was all about law. It was all about how self-righteous you were, how good you were. Before Jesus came, the understanding of this place and faith was all about how hard you worked and how good you were. We don't see it that way. Christianity is a place of a free gift of grace. And the first shall be last. By Jesus making this comment, the first will be last, he takes away all the hierarchy. In the culture that he was in, it was all about the first, the ones, the biggest seat, the best place, the ones who were in front were always the ones that were to celebrate, and the low ones, put them to one side. Jesus flips it all around and said, first will be last. Those who you think don't deserve anything, they're going to be wonderfully looked after in the gift of grace. So how does it work? I'm going to tell you a story. Okay. There's a few people in a line. They finally made it to heaven. It's a true story, really. No. Okay. And so they're standing in line. There's a minister who's put in years and years of faithful work for the church. And he's standing in line. And there's a few people behind him. And Peter comes up to him and says, "Thank you so much for all your work that you've put in. All the work that you've put in, all your years of faithfulness, and your reward in heaven is going to be this nice little house by the water. This is your reward for all your work in heaven. Welcome to your little place." And so the minister looks, "Oh, that looks cute, looks nice." And he's about to start to walk over to his little house. And then Peter says to the man behind him, "You have done well. You receive this mansion." But the minister turns and looks and he goes, "He's a taxi driver. How is it that he gets a mansion and I get the little cottage by the water? You know, I've been working hard in the church. I've been so faithful and I've been putting all my time and energy into this faithful place." And Peter said, "Well, what you've done is really well. But when people got in his taxi, everybody was praying in the back seat." True story after all, right? It's not about that at all. It's about making having that understanding that the grace of God is a free gift. Paul writes in Philippians 4:11, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Let me say that again. Actually, you can speak that out too, 13, all together. "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Remember, it's not you. It's not your own energy, not your own effort, not your own work. I can do this through him. What can I do? I can be content in him. I can be content in him. Are you learning to be content? Are you learning to be content that grace is given to you as a free gift? Before the lions, F.W. Borum is one of Australia's great writers, Christian writer. And he's asked about artwork, and he writes this story around a picture of artwork that's down in Melbourne. What do you call it where there's art? A gallery, that's it. Thank you. I'm not showing you the picture because it's a bit graphic, but the picture is unique in the picture of what it means. There's two young girls that are lying on the ground. They're Christian girls, and they're about to be fed to the lions in the Colosseum. as martyrs. And what's powerful about this picture, this painting, is that these two young girls are asleep on the floor. And just behind them, you can see the lions looking through the bars. The lions are just behind. And what's powerful is these two girls are asleep, beautifully and wonderfully asleep. But they know tomorrow they will be martyred with the lions. The depth of that picture is to have that peace, to have that contentment, to know that no matter what happens, the gift of grace is coming to them for their faith. It's a profound picture in the understanding. I wonder if we could be like that. I don't know how I would be. I've chosen Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. But would I, could I be in that place where I could sleep the night before knowing that I'm going in the Colosseum with the lions? That's what real contentment and understanding and having that faith to know no matter what, in that place of martyrdom, you know that Jesus has you and has you covered. To laugh and be happy in circumstances that are very difficult. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." That should bring us contentment. That should bring us peace. Grace is a free gift. Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. Graciously and beautifully, it's a free gift. It's not your work or what you can earn. It's a free gift given to you, which should settle your heart and bring contentment to you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, may we have an attitude of gratitude of what you have done. May we not be jealous or comparing ourselves to others. May we be in a place where we understand that our hearts, that our lives, that our journey can be content in you. Some of our fears that we have, some of the anxieties that come up, some of the pressures we're under, Lord, help us to center ourselves in you, to have that gratitude that you have done the work, that you have overcome the world, and you can overcome all our fears and anxieties. You can overcome all the pressures we're under. And we don't have to work for our salvation. We have been given it by what you have done. All you ask us to do is have faith, believe that you've done it, and to understand how much, how deeply, and how richly you love us. Allow us to walk this day contented in the knowledge that you have all things in your hands and in your control. In Jesus' name, amen.